We sing five stanzas saying, I don't know this, I don't know that, I don't know this, I don't know that. But in the refrain, we quote from the King James Version, 2 Timothy, and I can't remember the chapter and verse, but from 2 Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So I don't know a lot of things, but I do know Jesus, and I do know that he's both willing and able to keep me, because I've entrusted myself to him, to keep me forever. And I especially think that during a time when politically we're uncertain, when economically and health-wise there's a lot of mystery, it's helpful to remember, I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. I know Jesus, and I know that I'm safe in his hands. Hallelujah. Hey, Presbyterians are allowed to say that. You want to say that? Hallelujah. I know you're shy, you're Presbyterians, but well, let's try that again. Hallelujah. That's Hebrew for praise the Lord. Please look with me at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. This is going to be, this is an unusual style of preaching for me. I normally take a whole paragraph or a whole chapter at a time, but sometimes it's helpful to look at just one verse and meditate on it and maybe even try to memorize it before the end of the service. And actually, though this style is unusual for me, I learned it from Charles Spurgeon. That was his style. He would take a verse and just sort of meditate on that particular verse. And saying that I learned that from him doesn't mean that I'm as good a preacher as he was, because I'm not. But the Bible is just as good. The Bible I preach from is just as good as the one he preached from, and that's our hope. So listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and then let's reflect on it together. It's part of a series of exhortations, but it's an important one for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, as we reflect on this scripture, we pray that you would use it as an instrument in your hand. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So, O Holy Spirit, please wield your sword and use it in a way that each of us most needs to hear. And we ask, Father, that you would open the ears of our heart, that we might hear the voice of our good shepherd, and open our hearts that we might heed his voice and follow him, and particularly this way that you are calling us to follow you. For Jesus' sake, amen. So this morning I mentioned that I had kind of as a pet peeve people speaking of Thanksgiving as Turkey Day or Football Day, or thinking of some blessings that the Lord gives, but just forgetting about the blesser, or at least not consciously reminding ourselves of the one who gives us blessing. And that's not true of everybody. In fact, we all know people who are not believers, who don't have any saving faith in Jesus, and yet we might describe them as thankful people, who do show appreciation, who we might even describe as cheerful and thankful. But this evening I want us to ask, what's different about Christian Thanksgiving in particular? Christian Thanksgiving in particular. What's different about the joyful and thankful attitude and behavior that our Lord calls us to? So let's think about that for a moment in light of this particular scriptures. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So these are the words of the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul. And when you hear these words, they sound good. They sound right. They sound biblical. They sound Christian. They sound beautiful. And they are all of those things. But then if you're like me, you might be tempted to tack a but at the end of that sentence. Yes, that command does sound beautiful and good and right and Christian, but it's just not practical. We tend to dismiss hard things that way. The theory sounds good, but in practice, it just doesn't seem to work. But God is very serious about this command. So even recognizing the difficulty of obeying shows that this is more than a sentimental expression of some kind of glib moralism. In a way, it's a lot easy to get. It's relatively easy to give thanks when blessings are falling all around our ears. That's what I wrote in my notes. But even as I say it, I begin to think, but if that's true, then why did the Lord warn his people that when they enter the promised land and blessings do begin to fall around their ears, beware, you'll be tempted to forget the Lord your God. So even when the blessings are falling down around our ears, it should be a lot easier to give thanks to the Lord because we've got so much to be thankful for. But even then, our sin is such that we can harden our hearts and kind of forget about the Lord. But it can be hard to do when the trials are falling down around our ears. And the Lord says, no matter what, whether you're being surrounded by blessings or whether you're being surrounded by troubles, he wants you to give thanks. So notice three things that God is saying in this little verse, and we'll just ask those three questions. What, why, and how? What, why, and how? So let's think about it together in those three words. First of all, God tells us what we're to do. And try to memorize this verse while we go through it. First part, what are we to do? Give thanks in all circumstances. So that's easy to memorize, right? Give thanks in all circumstances. God tells us he wants us to give thanks in every circumstance. And remember this morning we said giving thanks is not the same thing as feeling grateful. It might include feeling grateful, but it's actually expressing that gratitude to the Lord. And the Lord is saying that while our thanksgiving may be prompted by the goodness of our circumstances, we're not to let it be limited by the goodness of our circumstances. Because the gratitude that we feel and the thanks that we give are not to come from the outside in, but from the inside out. Which means that in every circumstance, whether the circumstance is bad, whether the circumstance is good, whether the circumstance is delightful, whether the circumstance is downright evil, we're to give thanks. And notice what God does not say here. So again, I hope you're memorizing this. Give thanks in all circumstances. So notice that God does not say, give thanks for all circumstances. He doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but he does say give thanks in all circumstances. Because there are some circumstances in our lives that are bad. There are some circumstances in our lives that are wrong. And we might even find it hard to give thanks for them because they're evils. If somebody is murdered, that's an evil. And even though in the long run we can see how God caused it to work together with other things for good and we can be thankful for it in that sense, that doesn't make it a good thing that we should be thankful for. But the Lord doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. He says give thanks in all circumstances. When I was starting out in the ministry, I said to myself, well, you're going to be a pastor probably in a small congregation, in a small denomination, a very conservative denomination, and you'll live a very sheltered life. And I was right about the small denomination and the small congregations, but I was wrong about the sheltered life, because total depravity, that sinful nature that we inherit from Adam, we carry with us wherever we go. And I'm not going to list all the horrible evils that I've had to face as a pastor, but you can guess them. Just go through the Ten Commandments, and there's something under each of those categories of evils that I've faced, that you probably have had to face in some way or other in your extended family or in your circle of friends or colleagues, because we live in a fallen world and we're fallen people, and there are bad things that happen, things that are evil, and that's why we pray, deliver us from evil. We pray that God would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so we're not to say, well, I thank you, Lord, that my loved one was murdered. That's not what this verse is saying, but it is saying give thanks in all circumstances. No matter how catastrophic, you're to give thanks. Now, many of you have heard the name Helen Keller. She was born in 1882. She died in 1968. When I was growing up, I heard her name a lot. When she was a baby and a toddler, she was a beautiful, bright, precocious little girl. But when she was 19 months old, she caught a fever that was so bad, that so ravaged her, that it left her totally blind and totally deaf. And she was locked in this world of darkness and of silence. But she was a very smart little girl, and she was a very determined little girl. And she was she was very frustrated no longer to be able to communicate with her family. But she kept trying to communicate with them, so that when she wanted, she made up her own little system. When she wanted a piece of bread, she'd make a hand motion that was like cutting a piece of bread to let her family know. Or if she wanted ice cream, she'd wrap her arms around herself and shiver. That was sort of her way of communicating, ice cream. And she developed about 60 different motions that she'd do to communicate with her family. But it really frustrated her, because she remembered hearing and seeing, and now she couldn't do that anymore. And she had trouble understanding what her family wanted, and she had trouble making herself understood. And the more she grew, the more frustrated she became, so that she began to get more and more violent, more and more out of control. She'd throw things, she'd smash things. And by the time she was 7, her parents got her a tutor to help her learn to communicate, because it was just too out of control. And this tutor was very, very instrumental in teaching Helen how to cope with this. And also instrumental in this was her trust in the living God. So she later wrote about this. She learned to communicate through this tutor, and she even was able to give speeches and write essays and books. But one of the things that she attributed to helping her to cope was her trust in God. And the last thing that might be on the agenda for someone in her circumstances might be gratefulness and thanksgiving. But listen to what she wrote. She wrote this: "For three things I thank God every day of my life. Thanks that he has vouchsafed me knowledge of his works. Deep thanks that he has set in my darkness the light of faith. Deepest thanks that I have another life to look forward to, a life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song." So she might not have been thankful for the circumstances that God had dealt to her, but she was thankful in those circumstances. And that's what God is saying to us: give thanks in all circumstances. That's point one, what. Point number two, why. Why are we to give thanks in all circumstances? And notice what this verse tells us. God tells us through the Apostle Paul in verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And you know, when you read through the Bible, it piles up lots of reasons why we're to be thankful to God. Just read through the Psalms and we learn that we should thank the Lord because He is good. We should thank the Lord because He's the sovereign God of heaven and earth, and He's not some kind of tyrant with a bad sense of humor. He's a loving God who is good and who takes care of us. The Psalms show us to thank the Lord because He watches over us, to thank the Lord because He protects us, to thank the Lord because He spares us, to thank the Lord because He redeems us, to thank the Lord because He loves us, to thank the Lord because He gives good gifts to us, to thank the Lord because He establishes justice, to thank the Lord because He shows mercy, and on and on and on. The Bible has a whole catalog of things to give thanks to God for, and God doesn't exclude those things from this particular verse. But here in this verse, He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. Give thanks because it's God's will for you. And I think that means at least two things. Number one, it means that God wants you to give thanks in everything, and therefore you ought to do it. God wants you to, and so you ought to. It's kind of like when your mom or dad says, eat your vegetables, and you say, why? And they give you this profound philosophical reason, because I said so. And that's sort of what this verse is like. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. I want you to give thanks, God says, because this is my will for you. But I think there's something bigger and greater behind that. And this is number two. God is saying, it's my will for you to give thanks in every circumstance, because my big plan for you is to create a joyful, rejoicing people. So the triune God's purpose, the God of grace's purpose, is not to create ungrateful, grudging, grouchy people, but His grand conspiracy, this conspiracy between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the work of redemption, is to make our hearts bigger, to enlarge our hearts, and it's to show the world what the human race was intended to be in the first place. And the first thing that the human race ought to be, in view of the greatness of the Creator's gifts to us, is thankful. Thankful to the God who loves. Lovingly thankful to the God who lovingly gives good gifts. And now God is saying to us that even though we live in a fallen world in which there are many things not to be thankful for, that shouldn't overshadow the things that we ought to be thankful for. And therefore, it's God's will and His plan to create in you a heart big with thankfulness. And therefore, you ought to give thanks. And you know, in the early church, it was joy in the midst of pain and persecution that the early Christians showed that often caused unbelievers to say, I don't know what they have, but I want it. Wasn't that they wanted the persecution, but whatever these Christians were showing in the persecution showed that they had something that was bigger than this life and bigger than that persecution. And it was something that unbelievers wanted too. About 40 years ago, a pop singer, Billy Joel, sang, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. But what God is saying in this verse is, I want to create believers who portray gratitude and joy no matter what their circumstances, so that unbelievers will say, you know, I'd rather cry with those saints than laugh with my friends who are sinners. Because these saints are joyful, thankful people. They have meaning and purpose. They've got something that I need too. And so God says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. I'm speaking about this in anticipation of the holiday Thanksgiving, but I'm using Thanksgiving as an occasion to say, let's rededicate ourselves to making this a day-by-day lifestyle of feeling gratitude to God and giving thanks to God. When I was a kid, I grew up in church. I mentioned this morning that I didn't like it. I really wasn't converted till after high school, but still I went, and God used it because I learned the Ten Commandments. I learned the Lord's Prayer. I learned Psalm 23. I learned the Apostles' Creed. There were things that I learned that were seeds that were planted that, even though I rebelled against them, God later caused them to germinate and grow. But another thing that I remember was a song that we would sing in Sunday school, and it was, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." And I don't know how many times I've taken the advice of that song that I learned when I was a little kid, in a time of discouragement, and just started saying, let's count my blessings. Actually, I've always run out of energy before I ran out of blessings. I just ran out of time or energy or whatever it was, because I've never come to the end of all the blessings. Once you start consciously thinking about it, well, what are things that God has given me that are good? Well, even the ability to breathe, and the air that I breathe, and the food that I taste, and the energy to do this or that, and the loved ones that I have, and just go on and on. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When I was a young Christian, I had a little prayer journal that I kept, and I remember finding it at some point later in life. It had sort of gotten lost in the shuffle. And I later found this little prayer journal and was looking through requests that I had prayed. And I was astonished how many of those prayers God had answered. And I had just forgotten about them. I had never thanked Him for them. I didn't even remember praying them if I hadn't found this journal. There's so much to give thanks to God for. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. But third and finally, you're asking, I know what you're thinking, you're saying, how? How in the world can I do that? You don't understand my circumstances. And you're right, brothers and sisters, I don't understand your circumstances. I don't even know many of the circumstances in which God has called you to give thanks. In some of your lives, I might have a bit of an inkling, but I really don't know how great a challenge it is for you to give thanks. And you don't really know how great a challenge it is for me to give thanks sometimes, but God knows. And God is the one who tells us how, and it's here in three words. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And here are the three words. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. It's only possible to really feel gratitude to God and to really express thanks to God in all things if you've got a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ Jesus. It's only in and through Christ Jesus that we are able to give thanks in every circumstance. And I mentioned I thought when I started out in the ministry in a small conservative denomination that I'd live a sheltered life, but I've seen people suffer terrible tragedy and hurt. And I've also heard people say the Lord is good in all that He does. Like Job, when you read through the book of Job, my favorite verse in the whole book of Job was when the Holy Spirit enables Job to say, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Though He slay me, even though God kills me, yet I will trust Him. And there are times when I've wondered, how could these people do this? And God tells us the answer here. It's because they've seen the face of God in Christ. They know the Lord. They've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. They're resting in His grace. And the Lord is of sin the double pure, forgiving not only their guilt, but also empowering them to walk in newness of life. And by His grace, they're able to give thanks in every circumstance. It's like Augustine, the great theologian of the early church, one of the greatest, maybe the greatest theologian of the whole of church history, many centuries ago said, "Lord, command what you will, but give what you command." What he was basically was saying, "Lord, I can't do the things that you tell me to do, but you can enable me to do those things." And the Apostle Paul is saying here, you want to give thanks in everything? You want to foil your foes with joy? Then you trust in Jesus Christ. You rest in Him. And when you find that, and then you'll find that when you're connected to the one who's the spiritual source of the power to be thankful in every circumstance, then you'll have the power to be thankful. Not your own power, but the power of the Lord working in you. As you keep breathing in His word and breathing out your prayers, He'll empower you and make you able to give thanks in everything. May God make us a grateful people who continually give thanks in all circumstances in Christ Jesus from now on. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, how we praise you for your grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have loved us even when we were enemies, even when we were helpless, even when we deserved the exact opposite of your love. And yet you came, you sent your only begotten Son to hunt us down and to seek us and to save us, to rescue us. And we pray that you would continue that good work that you've begun in us, so that you would make us able in Christ Jesus to give thanks in everything, knowing that this is your will for us, and your will for us is good, and your will for us is big, and it includes our glorification with in your presence, in your face, in seeing you face to face in glory forever and ever, where perfect love and friendship and righteousness will dwell forever and ever. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep you in mind in all things, so that in all things we are thankful to you and we give thanks to you. For Jesus' sake, amen.